Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with Washoe County Commissioner Marcia Birkbigler for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome to the program Washoe County Commissioner Marcia Birkbigler. Pleasure to have you on the program, ma'am.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
We're taping this on November 29th, and so this is the morning after there was an incident in downtown Reno with a shooter. What can you tell us at this point in time, knowing that, you know, it's going to be out of date by the time this airs next week, but what can you at least tell us so far?
Really, I think the article in the RJJ pretty much covered everything that was, you know, happened. There was somebody who clearly has a questionable mental stability. And there was a woman that he was holding hostage, and for whatever reason, or at least the police believe that she was being held hostage, for whatever reason, he was shooting out the window of the Montage onto Sierra Street. And I think one person, nobody got seriously injured. I think one person got hurt in some manner. I don't think they were shot. I think maybe they got cut by glass or something. And the police did kill the shooter. And rightfully so, you know. I want to really thank the Reno police for what a superb job they did. Their SWAT team was in there.
Even FBI,
yes. And they were on top of it and quickly resolving it and before the guy could really do any serious damage. I haven't heard whether or not he had more than one gun. I don't know that. But I do know the woman was not injured physically, but of course, emotionally, I can imagine she's in pretty tough shape right now this morning.
In the past on this program, you've talked about that you were not going to run again for a third term as Washoe County Commissioner. Mm-hmm. Sadly, your husband passed away.
Yes.
And now people are pressuring you. What are you thinking in terms of perhaps taking that third term?
Well, I'm thinking that I might run again. You know, I really had not intended to run largely because my husband was elderly and his health wasn't great and we had some things we wanted to do. But now that he has passed, you know, I like what I do. I really enjoy this being involved. And I don't know what I would do for the next four years after my term is up. So I'm seriously considering it. And I am getting a lot of support from the community to do that. I'd love to hear from my constituents about what they think, whether they think that it would be a good thing or not. Because I, you know, I'm not a career politician. I never intended to be. But I think there's a lot of things we need to do to better our community, and I'd like to have a hand in that. I'm not up until 2020, so I've got, you know, some time to look at all the issues.
Marcia, recently the city of Reno has been considering a lawsuit against opioid drug manufacturers to recoup money spent on opioid addiction. Steve Sisolak said on this show that the Clark County Commission is also considering similar suit. Is the Washoe County Commission considering an opioid suit against opioid manufacturers?
I wouldn't say we're considering doing that. We did have a discussion about it yesterday, and we, you know, the district attorney is looking at it. The state, of course, is the state attorney general is looking at suing, and I, in fact, may have already put together a plan to sue. So I know that our district attorney is considering contacting the state attorney general and talking about, you know, sweeping the municipalities into it. So we're kind of looking at several options. And the other thing is what one of the things we're looking at is what's the potential liability for these companies? My husband was a pharmaceutical salesman and worked for a huge Swiss corporation, Ciba Geigy. And I can tell you that they are excellent at getting out of these kinds of messes that they get themselves into. And yes, sometimes they end up paying their way out. But really, can you blame a major corporation for that problem? I mean, is it really their fault that opioids are out there? Opioids have a definite benefit. So who's really at fault here? Is it the doctor who overprescribes it, or the doctor who continues to prescribe somebody like a football player who gets injured, or, you know, a high school student who gets injured in track or something like that, and the doctor continues to overprescribe? I think that's really the question. One of the questions that our district attorney is looking at is really who's responsible for this.
You know, one of the other things that I've talked about in this program before is the responsibility of doctors, pharmacists, other caregivers to warn people up front how dangerous these medicines are. For those of us that are aware, you know, you're prescribed opioids for a certain situation. You want to stop taking those as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. You almost want to have as few as possible so
Absolutely.
That there's no danger of you, you know, getting hooked onto them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't, with the speed that the medical industry processes things, I think that's one of the things that's missing.
Well, I think you're right about that. And I guess the question is, then secondarily, how do you stop people doctor shopping and going from doctor to doctor to doctor, or pharmacy to pharmacy to pharmacy? So do we need to look at some form of national database, if you will, that when somebody's prescribed a narcotic of some kind or an opioid of some kind, that they end up on a database? And then we're talking about patient privacy. And so that becomes an issue. So it's really kind of all a muddled mess right now that I'm not certain will be benefited by a lawsuit at this stage of the game. So I was very thankful for the district attorney having a conversation with us about it yesterday, and it gives us the opportunity to kind of look at the broad picture and sort of watch what's happening.
And to play devil's advocate on both sides of this,
yeah.
There's also a situation where it's hard enough now for people to get their prescriptions.
Absolutely.
I mean, you are really slammed. If you go to the pharmacy a day early, they're not going to give you the prescription, whatever the heck the prescription is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, do you really want to put up more barriers to people being able to get their regular medicine?
Especially when it's somebody who's ill and really needs it. You know, I mean, I dealt with that with my husband, who was ill for this entire year. And we absolutely had that problem. Now, most of our prescriptions are mail order because that's what our insurance requires of us. But, you know, if you have to have a specific medicine for a specific problem, you're absolutely right. If you try to even go an hour early, you're waiting around or you got to come back. And so do we want to make that any worse? It's a very good point.
All right, let's take a break. More with Washoe County Commissioner Marsha Birkbigler when we come back.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Washoe County Commissioner Marcia Birkbigler.
Marcia, we're taping this just hours after it was announced that NBC's Matt Lauer was fired for sexual inappropriateness. And we've seen about Charlie Rose and Senator Al Franken and even President Donald Trump during the election. You wear two hats as a Washoe County Commissioner and a lobbyist at the Nevada Legislature. With that, should the Nevada Legislature release its report on sexual harassment charges against Senator Mark Menendo? And is this a deeper problem at the Nevada Legislature than just Senator Mark Menendo?
You know, that's a very good question. Is it a deeper problem? I don't lobby on a full-time basis. I'm only down there now on behalf of the county.
But you've been down
there for years. And has it historically, have there historically been some issues? Absolutely. There's no question there have been issues. We don't wear rose-colored glasses when we're down there, and we know there's issues. It is true that women are attracted to powerful men. And it is true that men don't always think with their brain. And so whenever you put everybody in a big fishbowl like we do in a legislative building, and I'm not just talking about Nevada, I'm talking about legislatures or, you know, anything, I think you're going to run into some of these problems. I think the question that is interesting to me is, you know, I grew up, started my lobbying business as first for a physician-owned hospital in California and then for mining here in Nevada. And you know, men tell dirty jokes in front of you or they make lewd comments in front of you. And I was a young woman. But I guess I wasn't offended. Perhaps I should have been. I guess I wasn't offended when those things happened to me. Oh, I could tell you stories. I won't, but I could tell you stories. But I think what I'm questioning now is it right what these men have done? No. But wouldn't it be perhaps in some cases better for the woman to just approach the man and say, you know, 10 years ago you did this to me, and I want you to know I'm still offended by it, and see if they couldn't resolve it that way. I think that we're putting this on the big stage, and we're asking women and men to say bad things about each other, and maybe that's directed by this president. Maybe that's why we aren't nice anymore. Maybe that's what's going on in this country, is that it's easy to get on a tweet and say, I'm saying such and such about so-and-so or something like that. I don't know. I just, should the state release it? Yeah.
You mean the report on Menendo?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am a firm believer in releasing the information to the public. If Menendo really did that, and if they found that in their investigation, why shouldn't the public know?
Do you think that the Democrats who run the legislature in both houses are covering up for Senator Menendo?
No.
Who, of course, no.
No, I don't believe that, because I think Senator Ford was the reason the investigation started in the first place.
But why not release that then?
I don't know. Maybe that's the Legislative Counsel Bureau and not the senators. I have no idea why not. I know that, you know, I disagree with it. I think you ought to release it. And the truth is, you know, we let's just talk about Congress for a minute. So we have Roy Moore, who, you know, you got to say when there's that much smoke, there's some kind of fire somewhere. There's too many people coming out saying that these things happened. And so the Republicans are protecting him. But then you've got Franken and Conyers and, you know, and the Democrats are saying, oh, well, you know, we need to take it to keep it quiet and take it to a study or a review or and. You know, this is not about politics. This is about people.
But now, hang on. It is about politics.
I know.
If you're talking about...
Yes, it is, of course.
Congressional races, Senate races...
Of course it is,
the control of the House and Senate, yeah. You know, it very quickly...
Becomes politics.
Becomes politics.
But what I mean is, of course it's about politics. What I mean is those women, those young men, when you talk about Harvey Weinstein or whoever else, you know, those people who were actually sexually abused or... physically harmed in some way or emotionally harmed in some way, it's not politics to them.
You know, I wish that Mills Lane were able to come on this program.
Yeah.
Because I remember Mills, the former judge, former DA, boxing referee, would say to us kid reporters back in the 70s and 80s that once you get beyond a certain age, beyond 18 or 21, that you can't go back and blame your mother and your father for all the things that are messing you up in your life. You got to get on with your life.
I totally agree with that.
And be responsible. And so it's a little strange when people, and I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying they're not saying the truth. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying it's 40 years ago.
That's right. And I would say the same thing, Sam. A lot of my girlfriends will say to me, but it still happened and it was wrong. And shouldn't it be exposed because it still happened and it was wrong? And maybe they're right, but it was 40 years ago. And so, you know, I could say the same thing. I used to work for a CEO who scratched on my door and we were all at a big meeting and he was trying to get in my door. Should I go back and, you know, sue him? Come on. I mean, that was 40 years ago.
Well, we're talking apples and oranges, though, when the conversation is about Menendo, because... the things that he's accused of are very contemporary.
They are. And there are some others that are contemporary. This situation with Matt Lauer, I believe, if I understand correctly, the news clip I was reading is relatively contemporary, like within the last couple of years. And so that's contemporary. But things that Conyers, whatever the heck his name is, Conyers.
John Conyers.
John Conyers did. Or, you know, those were some time ago. Maybe it's... important to the person that it happened to release that information, and God bless her, because it is important. Some of the young men who were abused by Harvey Weinstein, you know, that was many years ago, but maybe it's important to their own emotional psyche to release that information, and if that's important, then they should do that. They should be allowed to do that.
All right, let's take a break more with Marcia Burke Bigler when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Washoe County Commissioner Marcia Burke Bigler. Does Story County need to be concerned about the upcoming legislative session, that there's going to be power grabs from surrounding counties because there's just too much money going on in Story County? And, you know, because there was a run taken at them mm-hmm. in the last session. Is there going to be another run taken at them this session?
You know, that run was not taken by Washoe County in the last session. And at this stage of the game, Washoe County is not considering a run against them. What Lyon County is thinking about doing, I don't know. I know that there is some really grave concern because, of course, we're going to have a new governor. Who that governor is, whether that governor is solely Southern Nevada oriented or whether that governor has local government experience and statewide experience and or statewide experience, I think that's really the question, the better question. If the person is solely Las Vegas, Clark County oriented, I think you're apt to see some efforts to change the way taxes fall to rural Nevada and Northern Nevada. If that's not the case, if there's a governor in there who has more of a state perspective or a state and local government perspective, then I think you see a different approach. But at this stage of the game, I will tell you very frankly, at this stage of the game, there has been no discussion at the Washoe County.
Are you hearing anything from Reno or Sparks?
I am not at this stage of the game hearing anything from Reno or Sparks.
And from Lyon?
I haven't heard anything from Lyon, but that's less likely that I would hear something from them. I know there's not a whole lot of talk about this at NACO, the Nevada Association of Counties. There's not a whole lot of talk about it at this stage of the game, but it's early yet. Let's get through the holidays.
Okay, and just briefly, in the past, I think that we've seen the leadership of the legislature not looking at their own turf, but looking at the state and doing what's best for the state. Do you believe any of the four major candidates, and I'm including Dan Schwartz in that, are going to be Vegas-centric rather than statesmanlike and looking at the whole state?
Yes.
Okay, give us an example. We got four candidates. Tell us what you think.
I don't know about Schwartz. What I think he would try to be more states-centric, but I am concerned about one Democrat candidate.
So are you talking about Christie?
No, I don't think because she's a county commissioner and she understands local government and she also has state perspective. But Steve Sisolak has not historically been, he's a county commissioner, so he understands municipal government, but he has not historically been state centric. He's been Southern Nevada centric. And I think there's a lot of concern about, in fact, I know there's a lot of concern because I've talked to a number of people about whether or not if he were governor, he would be state-driven rather than let's worry about what needs to be done for university in Las Vegas or the municipalities in Clark County or whatever. And that is a concern, I think, for those of us in the North.
Okay, and we've got less than a minute. Adam Laxalt.
Adam Laxalt has served as Attorney General, and so he is more... He's been dealing with things from a state perspective. He's very interested in the rules. As you know, he spends...
Well, he has huge support there. So.
Yes. Well,
I mean, he
also
won because he had the support of the rurals that outweighed his losses in Washoe and Clark.
Well, that's true. But he's been very supportive there. But he's also very veteran-centric. And so veterans are an issue in the North and the South. He works on a lot of issues, and please don't think by any means that this is an endorsement of Paul Laxalt, of Adam. But, I mean, I think he's a nice guy, and I think he's got some great stuff going for him. But I think the same thing about Chris G.
I want to point out, very quick,
that
Steve Sisolak, for many years, has been on the Clark County Commission, so it's easy to paint him as pro-Las Vegas, but he's only been doing his job for most of his political career.
Very true, but he's not done statewide stuff. And so
he was
that's
on the Board of Regents for the universities.
Yeah, well, that's a big difference than being statewide.
All right, you guys, that's where we got to leave it. We're going to play some commercials now. We'll be right back. Thank you, Marcia.
Thank you.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
If you haven't already, you can sign up for podcasts of Nevada Newsmakers free of charge from iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn. We'll see you on the next broadcast.